Good morning and thank you all for coming to this year's teen program. My name is Jenica Hunter.
I'm Rachel Smith, and we are so happy to have you all come see our last performance.
Last performance? What are you talking about?
We're seniors. This is our last year.
I can't believe it. I feel like everything's changing.
It is, but we can be excited because God is just getting ready to help us with what comes next.
Next? I'm not ready to be done with high school.
We can discuss the fact that you aren't ready to grow up later. It's time to tell everyone about the program, and one of our plays is all about the changes that go from teen years through adulthood.
Okay, but we definitely need to talk about this later. We will be performing two plays this morning. The first one is called Kill 'Em with Kindness. This lighthearted drama is about a young man who lost his joy and a lady who decides to help him find it.
The second play is called Waiting for God's Will. This play is about life's journey. Two young men, best friends with very different lifestyles, go through junior high school, college, and eventually even adulthood.
There will also be some special numbers performed by the teens. At this time, I am going to introduce the actors for the first play, Kill 'Em with Kindness. Playing the part of the curmudgeon, Philip Carbaugh. His neighbors are being played by the famous blogger, Kirsten Heilman, and I will be playing her roommate and best friend. Leah will play the part of our friend. Philip's grandpa is being played by Adam McCoy, and Mark McCoy plays the barista. Narrators are played by Annalise Johnston and Katie Carwell. The choir girls are played by Melanie Gross and Cheyenne Smith. Newspaper Thief is played by Rachel Smith. And our bloggers are Mallory Heilman, Lydia Heilman, Kylie Berner, Amy Gross, Sarah McCoy, Jenna Smith, Morgan McNally, and Jordan Jackson.
The second play is entitled Waiting on God's Will. We hope you enjoy seeing the changes that go on in the lives of two best friends, played by Corey Johnston and Tyler Long. During the play, Micah Long will be playing the part of young Tyler, and Ethan Johnson will be playing the part of young Corey. During the high school and college years, Tyler will be played by Kevin Smith, and Corey will be played by Ben Hartman. I will have the part of Corey's mother, and Katie Carbaugh will be playing the part of Tyler's mom.
We hope you enjoy the program.
Good morning, Philip. It's such a beautiful day for December.
Sure.
I can't seem to find my paper anywhere. Did you get yours? It's the third time in a week.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. That has my apartment number on it. I think that's my paper. Why are you taking mine?
Well, someone keeps stealing mine, and I need one to read with my coffee on my commute downtown.
So you thought it'd be okay to steal mine?
How do I know that you don't take mine by mistake?
Well, why would I need to take yours if I had mine?
Fine. Here's your stupid paper. Women.
Thank you. I'd be happy to leave it for you when I am finished.
No, thank you. I'll pick one up out on the corner.
I'm sorry someone's taking your paper. Maybe you should set a trap and catch the thief. You could call the cops and have them arrested. You'd be the hero of the entire building.
Like Nancy Drew or the Hardy Boys? I don't think so.
It's just an idea. It sounded fun. You don't have to be so grouchy.
Well, you don't have to be so cheery.
What's wrong with being happy? I love this time of year. People are usually happier. Think about it. Christmas movies, Christmas carols, get-togethers, food, traditions, church programs, children's programs. It's all so amazing.
Of course. You're one of those people.
What do you mean?
The ones that pretend it's not cold outside or that the dirty slush gets everywhere. You forget that people are starving and everything is so busy that you can't even relax. It's the end of the year and quotas are to be met. It's not all fun games for everyone.
It's time to enjoy the holidays and spend time with family.
Listen, you stay at your place, I'll stay at mine. Your happiness is annoying.
Hi, how was your day?
Fine. How was yours?
That does not sound fine. You're usually so happy. What's wrong?
I know. I shouldn't let the mean, grouchy neighbor ruin my day. But he's just so grouchy and arrogant. I can't stop thinking about it.
You met the neighbor? You couldn't stop thinking about him? Sounds interesting. Is he old? Cute? Tell me more about him.
Well, I guess he's around our age, and I don't know. He just never, ever smiles, and he's just so miserable.
So teach him how not to be miserable.
What do you mean?
For your blog. You could teach him how to be happy. You could call it How to Change a Guy Before Christmas.
Really? You are crazy. My blog is doing just fine without the mean, grouchy neighbor invading any more of my thoughts.
Think about it. The blog you're writing is great. Cookie recipes, homemade decorations, and music for caroling. You just don't have any, followers.
I know, and I'm never going to be a successful writer if I can't even write a blog that has followers. I would make a great writer for the Times.
Yes, you would, and I think this neighbor guy is the answer. If you write about him and how you change him into a happy, pleasant person, I bet people would read it.
I guess my blog might be a little bit boring. So many people are doing the same thing. But how would I start it?
I got it. The day I met the real-life Scrooge.
Wait, what's the date?
It's December 19th.
I got it. I'll call it The Gifts of Christmas. It'll be all about changing someone in just a few days.
How are you going to change him?
I will kill him.
What?
It's something my grandma would say. I'll kill him with kindness. I'll try something each day until Christmas and see if it works. But before I start, I'm going to turn on some music and do some baking.
Kill him with kindness. That sounds like a better name. Leah should be here soon to pick me up. Are you sure you won't change your mind and join us? Everyone from the singles group is going to be there.
I hear her right on time.
Hi, Leah.
Hey, are you guys about ready to go?
I am. Bye, Kirsten.
Are you sure you don't want to join us?
No, I have some things to do, but have fun. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven. Oh, hello, neighbor.
Would you turn down that Christmas racket?
Racket? I was singing. It couldn't be that bad.
Oh, is that what you call it? Sorry. I thought someone was dying.
I was singing! That is so rude! It wasn't that bad, I don't think.
Hey, Katie. I just started reading this blog. It was supposed to be about homemade ornaments, but I see it as something way different. It sounds interesting, so I thought I would share it with everyone. I'm going to send this to all my followers.
That sounds cool. I was already doing something, but go ahead and tell me. I can send it to my followers, too.
Okay. It says, Hi, it's Kirsten. Thanks for signing into my blog again. I've decided to start something new. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another. I have a neighbor that is a big grump. I'm wondering if anyone else out there has encountered a curmudgeon this Christmas season. After a rough run-in with him this morning, I decided to start a blog and get some feedback. To be fair, he hasn't shared his views on Christmas with me, but I can tell he doesn't possess a single ounce of holiday spirit. He lives directly across the hall from me, and to put it mildly, he is not a happy man. Just this morning, I discovered he was something else, a thief. I caught him pilfering my newspaper. Really, does it get much lower than that? Well, as a matter of fact, it does. This evening, not more than a few minutes ago, I was confronted by said neighbor demanding that I turn down my Christmas racket. I happened to be singing. He claimed it sounded like someone was dying. It has been confirmed. My cold-hearted neighbor is a living, breathing Scrooge. I hope you will join me for the next 6 days as I start my experiment. I'm going to kill him with kindness. I am hoping he will at some point get into the Christmas spirit. I'm going to start by making sure he gets his paper tomorrow. Well, sign in tomorrow to see how my first day goes with, let's just call him Ebenezer. I will be updating this blog every day until Christmas. Hopefully by then, this Grinch's heart will have grown a few sizes. I must admit, my expectations are low, but I am not convinced kindness can change a person. Sign in and we can find out together. I can't wait to see how this is going to go.
Me too. She sounds like she has her hands full.
Excuse me, are you taking my friend's paper?
Of course not.
Don't let me catch you again, or I'll call security. Good morning.
Who is it?
Kirsten, I come bearing gifts.
Just lean against the door.
Don't you like surprises?
No!
Here, I got your paper for you before it could be stolen.
Really? You disturbed my morning to give me my paper.
Yes, I thought it was really important to you, so I got up early and have been watching outside your door. It seems the lady down the hall is the newspaper thief. I caught her coming up to the door, and I yelled after her, "Are you taking my friend's paper?" I was able to get it back, but I'm sure she took someone else's. Or should be safe, though, because she knows I'm watching her now.
You did not disturb my morning for that. You could just lean it against the door. Also, I wouldn't call us neighbors. We're not even acquaintances.
We are neighbors, and maybe even someday friends, if you would just start looking on the bright side.
Aw, did you need a pat on the back for a good deed? Sorry, not happening!
That was rude! Good job, Kirsten.
Hey, way to go.
What do you mean?
Didn't you see all the posts on your blog? People are reading. I think you're onto something.
Are you serious?
Mary Morgan, good luck. This should be interesting.
Sassy Sarah, I love your thinking. I totally agree that killing Ebenezer with kindness will be perfect. Rub his nose in some cheerfulness and goodwill.
Jingle Bell Jenna, I can't wait to hear more. This is such a great idea.
Jolly Jordan, save yourself time. Once a Scrooge, always a Scrooge.
Believer in love, anyone can change. Figure out what makes them tick.
Carolyn Kylie, what happened to the recipes and ornaments?
I can't believe people were posting. Wait till they hear what just happened. But before I blog, I'm gonna go do some baking.
Annalise, she posted again.
I have been waiting since yesterday to hear about it.
December 21st. Thanks for reading. I appreciate all the advice and comments. Operation Kiln with Kindness officially started today. I guess I should have started with the end of Ephesians 4:32, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. What does it actually mean to tenderhearted forgive someone? I don't know, but I feel like I'm about to find out. Phase 1, I protected his newspaper. I got up early this morning and made sure that no one stole his paper. I then proceeded to knock on his door, roughly about the same time he leaves, but it was not appreciated. He slammed the door in my face. However, on my way to work, I saw that he was two people ahead of me in line at Starbucks. The barista is my friend Mark, and I asked him about Ebenezer. Turns out, Ebenezer buys the same thing every day. You guessed it. Plain black coffee. My plan for tomorrow, free coffee. I prepaid Mark for Ebenezer's coffee. I at least know he likes that, unlike the treat from tonight. I had slaved over a hot stove and made some, might I just say, pretty amazing chocolate chip cookies. I waited until I heard him leaving and popped out with a plate of fresh out of the oven cookies. He looked at them, turned his nose up in the air and said, "Those will make you fat." Can you believe the nerve? I said, "These are for you." I handed him the plate and said, "Merry Christmas." He said, "No, thank you," handed me the plate back, and walked away. I stood there dumbfounded. Who turns down cookies? Ebenezer does. That's who. This is going to be much harder than I thought.
Jolly Jordan, I think you're wasting your time, but I am enjoying reading your blog, though. I would appreciate those cookies.
Carolyn Kylie, you turned down cookies? That's crazy. You might have bit off more than you can chew with this, Ebenezer.
Mad Mallory, cookies? You should never give up cookies. Hide away and eat them all.
I hear him. Here goes nothing. Good morning, Philip. How are you today?
Fine. Were you waiting for me?
No, why would you ask that?
We have lived across from each other for about a year, and for 11 months I have successfully avoided you. Now, everywhere I turn, you're waiting there with your bright, pretty smile. It is driving me crazy.
You think my smile's pretty?
Of course, that is what you would take away from the conversation. It was a slip of the tongue. I was trying not to say annoying smile.
Admit it, I'm growing on you. So, where do you work?
Really? Small talk?
Just trying to get to know you better.
Save for someone who actually wants to talk.
Please?
Fine. I work for the insurance company downtown. I am an actuary.
What in the world is that?
I crunch big numbers. I work in a back office where there's peace and quiet and no noisy neighbors.
Well, have a great day.
Good morning. I have good news for you. You have free coffee today.
Me? Why?
A pretty lady came in and paid for it.
She's driving me crazy! I can pay for my own coffee. Here's enough that she can pay for whatever she wants tomorrow. I'll show her, too, can play at this game.
If you think she likes you, you should probably just ask her out.
Excuse me, can you help me?
Of course. Philip?
Are you stalking me?
Yes, because I came into the store I work in and I was stalking you.
It's just so weird. You seem to be everywhere.
Do you need something?
Yes, I need to get a sweater for my grandfather.
Well, what size does he wear?
I don't know. Isn't that supposed to be your job?
Well, I've never met him. So, is he about your size?
No, he's shorter. And thinner.
I would guess a medium.
Fine, pick something out of the medium.
Here, this one's one of my favorites. If you take it up front and pay for it, they'll even wrap it for you.
I don't want my Christmas present wrapped. Besides, your little trick didn't work this morning either.
What do you mean?
The coffee, I paid for my own. I don't need you invading my life. Buying me coffee, baking me cookies, it's just way too much.
A simple thank you would be nice.
Whatever.
Hey, are you about ready to go? Wow, you look mad.
Ugh, he makes me so angry.
I bet I can guess who.
Very funny.
I'm anxious to hear all about it, and apparently so is half of the United States, but we can't keep the kids waiting. Your fans are just going to have to wait until tonight for your blog.
What do you mean, fans? I just need to clock out. I love this part of Christmas.
What, practicing with the most amazing kids and then seeing the faces of the impatient parents when they come to pick them up? Sounds like lots of fun.
Let's just concentrate on the awesome kids part.
They are a great group and very talented.
Yes, they even got invited to sing at Central Park on Christmas Eve. We're going to tell them tonight. It's very exciting.
How are you going to play the piano for them in the park?
We're going to take a keyboard and make the most of it. Well, I'll meet you guys out back.
By the way, your blog is taking off. You have almost 10,000 followers. Even I can't wait to hear what happened next.
Are you serious? Who knew an angry man could be that interesting?
Maybe I should meet this angry neighbor.
Annalise, did you check it?
I didn't see anything posted an hour ago, but I will check again.
Great. I think she's starting to fall for Ebenezer.
No way. He is way too much of a Scrooge for someone as sweet as her. Oh, look. She posted. Well, Sassy Sarah, I appreciated your comment, and I definitely tried to rub his nose in good cheer, but I think it backfired on me a bit. I tormented him with cheerful chatter as he gritted his teeth. He did not accept my free coffee efforts, and at Starbucks, that was not cheap. I was accused of stalking him even though he showed up at my place of employment, and just when I thought the day couldn't get any worse, I accidentally ran into him when I went to get my mail. It goes without saying that I am not his favorite person, though I'm not sure this guy likes anyone. I do believe I have him utterly confused. I've been happy through his muttering, rude comments, and I have even ignored his multiple cold shoulders. However, tonight, I was so exhausted after practicing with the children's choir at church that I decided not to make an effort at the mailbox. Then, and this is what I found interesting, as I unlocked my door, I felt his gaze on me, almost as if he was waiting for me to speak. When I looked back, I saw him studying me, as if he was disappointed that I hadn't gushed with my usual cheer. I'm wondering if I am getting to him. Could it be possible? So soon? It's been only 2 days. I'm going to end today's blog with Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I know that God knows what he is doing, and I wonder if he is laughing at me now.
Probably.
Good morning. You looked a little done last night. I hope you slept well.
Yes, I'm feeling much better.
Wait till you see all the comments. Your blog has gone viral.
Let me see.
Jingle bell Jenna, keep up the chatter. He's coming around.
Jolly Jordan, from a guy's perspective, I wish someone was showing me that kind of attention. I'm cheering for you.
Mary Morgan, you're right. God does know what he's doing. Maybe your Grinch's heart is growing.
Sassy Sarah, maybe try kicking it up a notch, like with an elf outfit tomorrow.
Carolyn Kylie, maybe try fudge.
Believer in love, don't be discouraged. The fact that he's fighting so hard shows you have an effect on him.
Mad Mallory, he didn't accept your coffee. Next time, sneak rat poison in it. Oh, he probably won't take that cup either. Find a way.
Lydia Lights, I met someone like him. In fact, I married him. Run, sister, run, and don't look back.
There are hundreds of comments, most of them encouraging you to keep going. You're going to be famous.
I must admit, I'm feeling recharged. I'm going to grab myself a coffee, though, before I head to the senior center.
I didn't expect to see you this morning.
Well, good morning. Are you working on Saturday?
No. You?
No, it's going to be a great day.
I doubt that. Rain is in the forecast. The streets are clogged with traffic. People are pushing and shoving each other on the sidewalk, crazed with Christmas madness. If that's what you call a good day, then you're a better person than I am.
Well, thank you, Mr. Good Tidings. You forgot your line.
My line?
Bah, humbug.
Whatever. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but he didn't accept your coffee yet.
So I heard. At least mine's free today.
Look, are you interested in this guy, like, romantically?
No, why would you think that?
I mean, you seem to be going through a lot of trouble just to be someone that you don't even like.
I just want everyone to enjoy the Christmas season.
Alrighty, well, let me know how the kids do at the senior center.
I will. Thanks, Mark.
What are you doing here?
Excuse me, I have my reasons for being here.
You really are stalking me. First Barrow, then Starbucks. You're conveniently leaving when I am. I can't even go shopping without running into you. I don't know how or why you plan this, but I want to stop. I want to stop right now.
First, you came into the mailroom when I was already there. Second, I will take great pains to make sure I do not leave at the same time as you, even if it means I am extremely early for work. Third, I may be clever, but not clever enough to be working at the exact time you decide to buy a present. Fourth, I have every right to get coffee here, and if you don't like that, get yours somewhere else. Excuse me, I do have reasons for being here.
Miss Kirsten, are you ready to play? We were told to get you so we can get started.
Yes, I am. Are you ready to sing?
Of course we are. I can't wait.
I'm kind of nervous. Maybe I should just watch.
No way. I can't go up there without my best friend. We went through a lot just to watch.
It's just a little stage fright. Just pretend it's practice.
Yeah, when the curtains have open, just pretend everybody's wearing a bathing suit.
That's funny. What if I laugh?
It's fine. Just keep going. Just pretend it's practice. You sing for the Lord by serving others. Just sing for the Lord and it'll be fine.
That could work too, but not as funny.
Thanks, Miss Kirsten. We better hurry. The program starts in 5 minutes, and we haven't checked to make sure the piano's in tune.
You're right. We better go.
Wait. Before you go, let me apologize for my grandson's behavior. I've been looking forward to your program all week.
Well, at least someone in your family has manners. I hope you enjoy the program.
Why would you talk to a nice girl like that? I raised you better than that.
She's not just a pretty girl. She's an irritating, infuriating, obnoxious girl that makes me crazy.
Well, if she's getting that kind of reaction, you should just marry her. Come on, shut your mouth.
Once upon a silent night, once upon an ancient time, once upon a lowly manger scene, a wondrous star began to shine, and it's still shining as it shone, though the days and years have flown. It's still shining as it shone once upon a silent night. Once upon a silent night, unto us a child is born, to become the light of everyone, to change this world forevermore. And it's still shining as it shone, though the days and years have flown. It's still shining as it shone once upon a silent night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender. On a silent night.
Hello, I hope you enjoyed the program.
I sure did. Those youngsters definitely put a smile on my face.
I want to apologize for getting so upset earlier.
It's okay, my grandson deserved it.
If you don't mind me asking, why does your grandson hate Christmas so much?
Well, when Philip was 7, his mom and dad died in a car crash. His grandma and I tried to raise him the best we could, but we weren't the mom and dad that he loved so much. He turned 14 and started to mature, and things looked like they were going to be okay. But, yeah.
What happened?
Well, his grandma got diagnosed with cancer when he was a senior in high school, and she died right before Christmas. I guess he was mad at God. I mean, I struggled too, and I wasn't there for him as much as I should have been.
I can't imagine what you guys have been through, but thanks for sharing. It really explains a lot.
Well, I thought you should know this, that you've been the first one that seems to be reaching him in many years.
Reaching him? I've never seen anyone so angry before.
He's showing emotion, and that's a big improvement. It was really nice meeting you.
You too.
She finally posted. I feel like my day is incomplete until I hear from her, and I don't even know her.
Well, quit talking and read it.
December 23rd, Kill 'Em With Kindness update. I have a confession to make. I nearly abandoned the project today.
I've never met a more frustrating man in all my life than Ebenezer. For the second time, Ebenezer accused me of stalking him. I was playing the piano for the senior center at the same time he was there with his grandfather. Truthfully, it was kind of crazy to be at the senior center at the same time, but stalking him, please. This experiment has gone from a mission to a battle, and at the moment, Ebenezer is winning. A woman can take only so much. I could tell he regretted his words when he found out that I was playing the piano for the children, but did he apologize? No. I didn't expect that killing him with kindness would be the death of me, but I can do this thanks to you and all the encouragement you've given me. On the bright side, I met his grandpa, and he was the most charming older man that I've ever met. He apologized for his Scrooge of a grandson. I must admit, after hearing his grandpa tell me about all the difficulties Ebenezer has gone through, he touched a soft spot in my heart. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I realized that he had a reason to be miserable, but he grew up in a church that taught him about love, joy, and the real meaning of Christmas. I someday hope to share this verse with him. I need to pray more for him instead of just trying to reach him with the joy of Christmas.
Lydia Lights, you got the first real sign that this guy is actually human. Ebenezer has a heart, and it looks like you might have found it, even if it is 10 sizes too small. Good for you. Keep up the good work.
Jingle bell, Jenna. Sweetie, watch out before your heart gets involved. Or is it too late for that?
Sassy Sarah. Whoa, Nellie. This guy's getting to you. Are you sure you want to involve your heart?
Believer in love, I think this is a great thing you're doing. It started with my sister. We haven't talked for years. I reached out to her over the last 2 days, and she's coming to meet my family over the New Year's. Thank you for the idea.
Mad Mallory, I tried this idea on my mother-in-law. I think the project should have been called the 12 Days of Christmas, because I don't have enough time to make that woman joyful. I even tried baking, but apparently my cookies don't compare to hers. I think the real Grinch should be named Martha, and I'm going to have to give her a cup of that poison coffee if she doesn't grow hard.
Caroline Kylie, if you really want to turn him from a Scrooge to a Prince Charming, invite him over for Christmas dinner and make him one of those amazing recipes you like to post. And I would like to invite the charming old man. Do you have room for one more? Never too old for love.
Good morning. I see you're finally winning over your man.
What do you mean?
He was already here and bought you a peppermint mocha.
Philip bought that for me.
Yes, and he was smiling. He said to tell you he was sorry.
Philip said he was sorry.
Yes, he did.
What else did he say?
He wanted me to ask me if you were a cheerful pest or if you were just doing this stuff to annoy him.
What did you tell him?
I told him you're always a nice and kind person, but whenever someone doesn't accept your free coffee, that all changes.
Very funny. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. I wish he'd just ask you out already.
Hello.
Hello, I wanted to thank you for the coffee. It was a pleasant surprise.
I'm sorry for the way I treated you. I guess it's been a while since anyone besides my grandfather showed an interest in my life that I kind of forgot how to live.
Your grandfather actually waited for me after the program the other night. He explained a lot about your life. It really explained a lot, and I can't imagine what you guys have been through. He also said that you got involved at youth group and church for a while.
I see he was sharing.
Yes, he was, but don't be mad.
No, I'm actually not. I was struggling back then, but then I had some friends in youth group that told me about Jesus. I then asked him to be my savior, and my life was so great. My grandma got sick. I was angry with God. I'm not angry anymore. It's just I separated myself from everyone else so no one would leave me on earth.
I'm also a Christian, and I can't imagine not making the most of the time God has given us and sharing his love with others.
In my head, I know that you're right, but my heart still struggles with that. That's why I couldn't accept your cookies. The last person to bake me chocolate chip cookies was my grandmother. I must admit, though, they smelled pretty good.
I know it's last minute, but would you and your grandpa, or you and your grandpa, want to come to me and my roommate's apartment for Christmas dinner? We could talk some more.
It does sound a lot more tempting than a senior center. What time would you like us?
How about 1:30?
Until tomorrow, then. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Katie, did you read the latest post?
No. What happened?
She says, major developments, people. It turns out Ebenezer might be a Prince Charming after all. He actually bought me coffee and told the barista to tell me he was sorry. This was a major step. This is not all that I have to report. When I got home from work, I knocked on his door to thank him. He answered and apologized in person. Then we had an actual conversation. We talked about God, salvation, and cookies. The most amazing thing, when I first started this project, I felt like Ebenezer's eyes were dark and vacant. Tonight, they seemed warm and kind. As a kid, I can remember my mother telling me that our lives are merely a reflection of what we see and do. If we are kind, others will treat us with kindness. If we love, we will be loved. If we care, we will be cared for. For a good portion of my life, those were just words to me. Good words. Now I know they are true. I can't believe all the changes in just 4 short days. I also have to report I will be sending Christmas Day with him and his grandpa. Thanks for the advice, Caroline Kylie. I will be using those recipes. Tonight's verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
A guest for tomorrow.
Yes, I didn't think you would mind.
So the Grinch's heart did actually grow 10 sizes in 5 days. So how do you really feel about Ebenezer?
Well, I guess he is pretty cute.
I see I'm going to have to start calling him Philip.
That would probably be wise.
Let's read your posts.
Sassy Sarah, you go, girl. Maybe there is hope that even I can find my Ebenezer.
Believer in love, I have enjoyed your experiment. Please keep us posted on how Christmas dinner goes. My sister and I are talking more and more.
Jolly Jordan, can I come for dinner? My mom's not a very good cook.
Jingle Bell Jenna, I have been with you from the beginning. This has been an amazing ride. Keep us informed. Your readers need to know.
Mary Morgan, Merry Christmas. I hope it all works out for you too.
Mad Mallory, I think my mother-in-law is thawing. Maybe there is something to this.
Lydia Lights, never give up on reaching others. If everyone would try this experiment, it wouldn't even have to be Christmas time. There would be some real changes in the world. Be a true light.
Caroline Kylie, keep sending us those Bible verses and some recipes. We all need some encouragement.
All right, everybody's been sitting for a while, so we'll give you a chance to stand up, please. And we'll sing hymn number 141, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll sing the first and last verses and have the ushers come forward for the morning's offering then. 141, please.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Verse 4. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
All right, as we take our offering today, this is the third Sunday, and so this offering will go into the general fund. Appreciate already what we've seen. Let's ask God to continue to bless. And Todd Immler, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you.
Gonna have more technical difficulties if that didn't get unstuck. Hymn number 152. 152, please. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yet pealed the bells more loud and deep, but is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from day to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. We're good?
Corey and Tyler are best friends. They hang out all the time, and their favorite thing is to play soccer. But what a lot of people didn't know about Corey was that he suffered from a disease that caused blood clots all throughout his body. The only ones who knew were his family and Tyler. Typically, he could keep it under control with medication, but too much activity could mean possible death. He never knew when he was going to get a blood clot, and he had to go to the hospital a few times a year for it. But Corey never let it get him down. He was being raised in a Christian home with parents who loved him. His mom would try to hide the fear that she had for her child, but Corey always knew. Things were difficult for him, but he knew that everything was in God's hands. Tyler, on the other hand, was not being raised in a Christian home. His parents got along well, they were quite wealthy, and they loved Tyler so much. Corey would try and share God with Tyler all the time, but Tyler just didn't seem to get it. He felt he had a better life than Corey, so there was no point in believing in God when he believed he was just fine on his own. Tyler's mom was friends with Corey's mom, but mainly all they talked about was Corey and how scared his mom really was for him.
Tyler, this place is awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Come on, it's huge. I bet one of us gets lost by the end of the day.
I know you have the whole God is good enough to bless us with education, so you might as well enjoy it thing that your mom always tells you, but I just don't get it. It's school.
You may not believe it, but school is really a blessing from God, no matter how much you hate going.
At least now that we're at the junior high, we can finally play on a competitive soccer team.
About that.
Ugh, what now? Did God say you couldn't play soccer anymore?
Not exactly. My mom thinks since it's competitive, I might not be able to play.
You know, you're always talking about not having to be afraid to die. Why not just live a little closer to the edge? I know if it was me, I wouldn't let the doctors talk my mom out of letting me play soccer.
Just because you would doesn't mean I should. I'm not afraid to live on the edge, because I know if I die, I'm going to heaven. And besides, the Bible says to honor your father and mother, so I've just learned to accept it.
There has to be something wrong with you.
Corey, you coming? I'm going to have a word of prayer real quick. You head in. I'll catch up with you later. Dear God, you know Tyler's been having a really hard time dealing with the fact that he needs you. I try telling him about you all the time, but he just doesn't want to hear it. What should I do? Should I keep inviting him to church, or should I just give up?
Good news, I found more recipe books.
That's awesome.
Do you have all your Christmas plans finalized yet?
I think they are, but I always feel like I'm forgetting something.
I'm pretty sure every mother gets that feeling around Christmas.
Probably. How's Corey doing? Is everything going okay with him?
Well, the last doctor's appointment didn't go so well, and now he isn't able to play soccer for school this year. I know he was bummed, but there isn't anything we can do.
I can't imagine how hard it is to give up something he loves so much. How's he handling it?
He's actually doing it pretty well. He knows it's God's plan for him, and that he just has to figure out how he can use the situation to honor him.
I'm not sure about that, but I'm glad he found something to get him through the rough time.
No, it isn't something to get us through rough times. Our faith lasts through good times and bad times. God is faithful to us, so we need to be faithful to him.
Yeah, sure. I think the boys are home from school now.
Hey, Corey, how was school?
It was good. Just wait till I tell you about how this one teacher doesn't believe in homework, so we aren't going to have any all year.
And guess what? That just so happens to be the one class that we don't have together.
You know what I always say. God is good enough to bless you with education, so you might as well enjoy it.
Did you talk to any of the other kids on the soccer team?
Yeah, we start practices tomorrow.
That's great, Tyler. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah,
I can't wait. We see you play sometime.
Yeah, I can't wait to see some of your games.
I heard that you can't play anymore, Corey. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I had time. Now I have more time to serve God. And I got to witness to a few of my teammates, but now I guess I have to witness to the fans.
Why don't you two go get cleaned up for dinner?
He does seem to be handling it all right.
Yeah, I'm just so proud of him. We always hoped Corey would grow up to love God, but he really exceeded our expectations even at such a young age.
Yeah, and we're so proud about how driven Tyler's become. I just wish he had something else he loved besides sports.
Hey, I hope you know that Tyler is always welcome to come with us to church. On Wednesday nights, there's a fantastic youth program, and I know everyone would be happy to have him there.
I don't know if he'll want to go, but if he does, he can.
I'll make sure to have Corey invite him. I know he's invited him in the past, but I'll have to bring it up again.
Thank you so much. Maybe he'll make some friends that wouldn't worry me so much.
It really isn't a problem. And you know, there's a service for adults, too.
Thanks for the invitation, but church isn't really our thing. I think that it would be great for Tyler, but only so he can get his mind off of sports and have some fun. It could also give him some more time to hang out with Corey, since they haven't been able to see each other anymore recently.
Well, the invitation is always open.
Corey and Tyler stayed best friends and hung out all the time, even though Tyler seemed all consumed by sports. Corey would just listen politely, and he was always happy for Tyler and all of his accomplishments. The only problem in their friendship was that Tyler still thought God was a waste of time, and Corey couldn't seem to change his mind. Now, Christmas break had already begun, and all the kids were super excited about it. Soccer season was over, so Tyler decided to take up basketball. Corey would go to all of the home games in support of his friend. He wasn't allowed to play on the team, but he was allowed to play pickup games as long as it didn't get too rough.
Corey, Tyler, time to come inside.
Come on, Mrs. Johnston. We've only been out here for like 10 minutes.
Actually, it's been closer to an hour, and you know Corey isn't allowed to be out here much, especially in all this cold weather.
I need to go inside, but you don't have to. Besides, I have church tonight anyway.
When are you going to give up on that? I've been having the time of my life. I get to play basketball, soccer, and even play outside. Well, you're just sitting inside helping your mom bake cookies while talking about church.
I'm only helping my mom bake cookies because we signed up to take them for refreshments after the Christmas Eve service. And besides, I do get to do a lot of fun things, like go to your games and play outside sometimes. I just need to respect my mom once, and I really do love talking about church. Maybe you should come check it out sometime.
Yeah, sure. Maybe sometime. But today, I have to keep practicing for my games after break.
Did you have fun today?
Yeah, it was fun. I just wish that Tyler would listen to me when I try and tell him about how important it is to go to church.
Just don't give up. I'm sure he'll come around at some point.
I hope so.
I have to go to the store real quick. I kind of forgot flour. I'll be back in a little while. Make sure you get plenty of rest while I'm gone.
Okay, Mom. I will. God, I know I need to trust you to work in Tyler's heart, but I am just getting a little discouraged. Please don't let him slip away. I know he'll come to you eventually. I just know it.
All right, take your hymn books, please. Turn to hymn number 145, O Come All Ye Faithful. We'll sing all three verses. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come.
Tyler, now starting college, were still best friends. They even decided to go to the same university.
Tyler was there on an athletic scholarship for two different sports. And well, Corey had to go on a scholarship based on his condition. Corey had a rough time through the rest of junior high and high school. His condition became a little more serious. But worst of all, his mom had suddenly passed away when he was just in ninth grade. Corey really struggled that year. But sure enough, Tyler was there every step of the way. Every time Corey ended up in the hospital, Tyler would be there from the time he got out of school to when visiting hours ended. The loyalty Tyler showed Corey during this time made their friendship even stronger. But it made Corey even more distraught over the fact that Tyler still hadn't even been to church. The trials God was putting him through never did cause Corey to lose hope or his faith. Corey had lost the person he thought of as his godliest influence and teacher, but he continued to study God's word. Tyler still continued to harden his heart towards the Lord, and Corey was really getting discouraged now. Tyler hadn't even shown the slightest bit of interest in God, and now that he was in college, Corey could only suspect it would get worse.
I really mean it this time. This is going to be awesome, don't you think, Corey?
Well, I heard all my professors are really nice, but I also heard they assign a lot of work. But you know what my mom used?
Exactly. Now you're in the spirit. Hey, I heard about the super cool, awesome party that's happening in the same building as our dorms. This is going to be awesome.
You know, Tyler, I don't go to those parties, and I don't think you should either. God wants us to refrain from alcohol and sinful actions. I know these things will be happening at the party. You may not believe in God, but going to those parties is not the right thing to do.
Why do you always have to make me feel so bad for wanting to have fun? I mean, Jesus, it's not like it's a crime.
There's nothing wrong with having fun. I don't drink and I don't go to those parties, but I still manage to be happy and have fun all the time. There is types of fun that consist of not doing something wrong.
Fine, I won't go to that party then. But you're not going to talk me out of it for the next 4 years. I'm going to go get the rest of my stuff. I'll be right back.
God, I know my dad didn't want to support my decision to come to this school, but I just know that your will for me consists of me leading Tyler to you. I just can't leave him alone. If I leave him now, I'm afraid I won't even reach him. Please work in his heart. Help me bring him to you. I just want him to come to at least one church service before the year is over. That's all. I know you have the power, God. Use it on Tyler.
Much to Corey's excitement, Tyler didn't go to the party that night. Instead, the two of them just had a night in and got settled in their new dorm room. Tyler thought he was doing Corey a favor by not going to the party, but Corey thought that he might be coming around.
So excited for our first day of classes. I have no idea where I'm going, but it's going to be great.
I'm so excited for this optimism. It's 7:30 in the morning. You're bright eyed and bushy tailed, and it's just not right.
Well, you were the one that was all excited yesterday. You know you actually have to go to the classes to be considered a college student, right?
Yes, I'm not an idiot.
Well, you could have fooled me.
Hey.
Just look at the bright side. If you only went to that party last night, it would have been much worse.
It may have been much worse in the morning. But all those freshmen were saying how cool that party was. I just really wish I could have gone. It would have been so cool and I could have made so many new friends by now.
Tyler, I don't think you're getting the point.
And what's this point you keep talking about?
God wants to do things that are pleasing to him, and that party was in no way pleasing to him.
Oh, I already told you this. I am not interested in following the will of the Lord. I just want to have fun. I already have a really good life, not only you and all your godly ways ruining it.
Okay, Tyler. I understand.
Really talking about the fight they had that day. Corey persisted to invite Tyler to church, and he did seem to lighten up about the issue a bit. But Corey still thought it was going to be a while before Tyler actually agreed to go. Tyler met up with a bunch of his old friends from high school, but Corey decided to spend time with his family for most of it. Tyler and his family started having Corey and his family over for Christmas dinner every year since Corey's mom died, so they were trying to get all their plans together.
Are coming over set off for Christmas Eve?
Wait, I go to the Christmas Eve service that night, but I can come over in the afternoon, though.
Okay, whatever. We can make it work.
You know, your family usually goes to the service. I don't think it would be a bad idea for you to join them.
I don't know. I mean, church is your thing, and it's not really mine. I mean, I've accepted that. But
I don't see how you can say that when you look around at the beauty of the earth and use the energy to do something as simple as breathe. You can't say that there isn't a God who created it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can fit this whole church thing into my schedule.
Really? That would be awesome.
Don't get too excited. I only said I would try.
I'll try not to, but you don't know how much it would mean for me to you to come to a church service with me. It would really make it the best Christmas ever.
Anyways, so are you all set up with the plan we went over for Christmas Day?
I think so.
You think so? This is the most important day of the year, and you think so?
Relax. We still have a few days to prepare.
I know. Such a little time.
What's got you all excited this year?
I don't know. I just feel like for some reason this is going to be the best Christmas ever.
Christmas is my favorite time of the year, not for the same reasons you celebrate Christmas, but because it is Jesus' birthday.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so we really need to go over this plan.
Okay, so we're coming over to your house at noon.
Yes, and then we're going to have cookies and then lunch.
I love how your mom won't let you eat cookies for dinner, but on Christmas we eat them for breakfast.
Hey, no one ever said our family made sense.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Anyways, so we're going to open presents, which is my favorite part, and then we can just pretty much hang out at the house for the rest of the day. We can play basketball, soccer, football, whatever you want. We are not talking about school.
Well, sounds good, but I'm not really supposed to be playing any sports right now.
Wait, what? Why?
Well, my last doctor's appointment didn't go so well. They said I'm at high risk right now, and any major physical activity could put me in the hospital. I can still come and watch and kick a soccer ball, but no full games.
Gee, that really stinks. I don't even know what I would do without school.
Well, you know, I have God by my side. What else could I need?
Whatever you say, hey, I gotta go. But don't forget the plan.
I won't forget the plan. God, I think Tyler is finally coming around. He might actually come to the Christmas Eve service with me. And maybe there he will learn about you and get saved. I know he told me not to get my hopes up, but how can I? This is the most exciting news I have ever heard. I knew you would work in his heart.
Corey prayed with all his heart, thanking God for helping Tyler realize he needed to go to church. But that wasn't what was actually happening. Tyler, again, thought he was just doing Corey a favor and didn't really want to go. Tyler did go to the service on Christmas Eve, but he didn't pay attention. Afterward, Corey attempted to talk to him about it, and he just avoided the subject. Tyler got the basis of the story, but didn't believe to be more than something Corey used to get through all of the hard times of his life.
us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called
Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Corey and Tyler were now college graduates. Corey went for teaching, and even though he didn't have a very large salary, he taught at a local Christian school and really felt he was making a difference. Tyler went for business and ended up with an office job that paid very well. Corey was in a small apartment that he could barely afford, while Tyler lived in what he considered the good life, in a massive condo. Tyler and Corey were still very good friends and hung out sometimes, but Tyler worked a lot and didn't have much spare time. Corey's condition continued to worsen over the years, but he kept it from everyone. He figured that he was old enough to take care of himself, and he didn't want people to pity him because he could still do God's work, and that was all that mattered. Tyler knew that things weren't great, because after all, they had been friends for so many years. Tyler did go to church with Corey every Christmas Eve, and he had gotten to the point where he actually did understand the Christmas story. He just didn't believe it actually happened. Corey never stopped witnessing, and Tyler seemed to listen more and more over time.
Seen you in a while.
And whose fault is that?
Hey, just because you can't afford the good life doesn't mean you have time to enjoy it.
I am living a good life, just not your version of one.
Yeah, I know. You're happy about being around stuck-up private school teenagers all day and then going home to your tiny apartment. But that's just not the life for me.
They aren't stuck up. In fact, a lot of them are really great kids.
Yeah, sure. So a couple of friends and I are going on a really cool hiking trip tomorrow, and I was wondering if you'd want to go. I know you can't do anything strenuous, but it's just walking.
I don't think I should go. I have some things to do.
Corey, you've never been a good liar. What's the real reason you don't want to go?
Tyler, it's nothing. I just have, you know, I got some stuff to do.
Corey, what's going on?
Fine. I haven't been doing the greatest lately. I'm fine. I really am. I just can't do much physical activity anymore. The hiking trip sounds fun and all, but I might just take a day off and read my Bible. I realize I haven't been reading my Bible enough lately.
Corey, I just don't understand. You have so much faith in this God of yours, and all he does is ruin your life. You don't have a good job, your apartment is pathetic, and I'm your only friend.
Tyler, why don't you understand? I have so many blessings that are so overflowing. They just aren't as noticeable as yours.
Corey, I'll never understand you. Have fun with your day of Bible reading.
God, I don't know what you're doing anymore. I'm so lost. I've been praying ever since I was little that you will work in Tyler's heart, but all you have done is turn him farther and farther away from you. He doesn't understand my faith any more now than he did when we were young. I'm so discouraged right now, and I need your wisdom and guidance to help me get through this difficult time. Please, God, help me.
As the months went by, it seemed like Tyler and Corey just kept growing apart. Tyler barely even talked to Corey anymore. He got so tired of him thanking God for what he had and not asking God to heal him. Tyler didn't understand why a God that was supposed to be so loving would treat someone so faithful to him like that. Corey still reached out to him all the time with invites to church and other activities, but there were never any responses to them. Corey was beyond discouraged at this point, and he didn't know what to do to help Tyler. Corey's condition had become very serious now. And anything, even as small as a 20-minute walk, had the potential to put him in the hospital. He had really been struggling, but didn't want to worry anyone. He figured God would work everything out. Eventually, Christmas time came, and Tyler still wasn't going to abandon the tradition of having Corey and his family over for Christmas at his family's house, so he reached out to Corey.
Hey, Corey, it's good to see you again.
It's nice to see you too, but if you don't mind me asking, what's this all about?
Well, I know the tradition of having you and your family over for Christmas hasn't been broken yet, so I wanted to reach out and give you the invitation. You're always welcome, even though I haven't made that very clear over the past few months. I've just been busy.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Everyone gets busy. I'm sure my family would love to come. Will I be seeing you at the Christmas Eve service this year?
I don't know if I can make it, but we'll see.
Okay, just know that I'm sure everyone would love to see you there.
Like I said, we'll see. What have you been up to lately?
I'm still teaching at the same school, but I've been ahead of so many clubs lately. It's awesome to watch all the students get excited about something like recycling or even doing charity work. Things you think only kids, adults worry about and kids don't care about are actually the things that get the most involved. Through these programs, the students are learning the importance of preserving God's creation and what it feels like to give back to the people. God sure does work in wonderful ways. What have you been up to?
I actually got a really big promotion at work. My salary has doubled. I got an awesome new car, and I even started a basketball league out of the guys at work. I never really thought I'd be able to get back into things like basketball after college.
Wow, I'm so glad God has blessed you with all those things. It sounds pretty awesome.
It is. But don't think I'm making you feel bad. What I think you're doing with the kids is great, too.
Don't worry about it. I'm extremely happy for you. I don't need a bigger salary or a new car, although it would help, but I'm content with what God has gave me. God has blessed me enough that I don't really need much else.
Hey, as long as you're happy with it.
Exactly.
What time do you think your family will be able to come over?
I'll talk with my family, but how about 9?
Sounds great. I'll let my parents know you're coming.
Oh, hey, don't forget. Tell your mom to make those famous chocolate chip cookies of hers.
I will.
Failed in your will, but you have brought Tyler back into my life. Is this the time? Is this where you're going to bring him to you? Please, God, let this be the time. I don't know how much longer you're going to give me, but could you please let me live to see him saved?
Tyler was surprised when he was excited to go to the Christmas Eve service. Every year, it just felt like it was another way to be a good friend, no matter how miserable it made him. But this year was different. He didn't know why, but he figured it was just because he had finally reconnected with Corey. Corey was excited to reconnect with Tyler, too. But he had a doctor's appointment the day before, and it didn't go so well. The doctor had told him that he probably only had, at most, a few years to live. But Corey kept praying and asking God to let him see Tyler saved before he passed. It was all he truly cared about.
It seems so packed this year.
The church has received many new members over the past year. It's such a blessing.
Unless you want a decent seat.
Hey, struggling to find a seat is never a problem.
Yeah, says the one who came 4 hours early just to save us seats.
Honestly, I'm just glad you came. I thought the pastor gave a really good message. Did you enjoy it?
I guess it was okay, but it made me think.
Glad to hear it. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me.
Trust me, I won't.
Are we still good for tomorrow at 9?
Yes, I think you are. My parents are expecting you for a good, healthy breakfast of cookies. My mom even made her famous chocolate chip ones. She even made extra for you.
Now I'm really excited.
All right, I'm going to head out. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, see you later.
God, I think this is the time. I think he's really turning around.
Tyler was, in fact, starting to come around, but Corey didn't have much time left. On the night of Christmas Eve, Corey went into the hospital with a major blood clot near his heart. The doctors were able to control it for now, but they only gave him a day, at most, to live. As soon as Tyler heard, he rushed into the hospital.
Thank you.
As soon as Tyler heard, he rushed into the hospital.
Nurse, I need to know what room Corey Johnson is. I need to know now.
Sir, he's in room 114, right down the hall.
Thank you.
Corey, what happened?
Tyler, I have a blood clot near my heart.
How long till they get rid of it? How long do you have to be here?
They aren't getting rid of it this time. This one's too big.
No, there has to be a way. There's always a way. Pray to your God. Ask for a miracle. I don't care. There has to be a way.
I'm sorry, but this time there isn't. God could heal me, but I don't think he's going to.
Why not? He basically ruined your life. Ever since you were little, you've been faithful to him. And this is how he repays you? When we were kids, you couldn't play with the other kids. You lost your mom. You were sick. You were poor. And now this? Why would he do that?
Tyler, sit down for a minute. I've been telling you my whole life. God has done everything for me. He sent his son so that my sins could be forgiven. He has made a way for me to go to heaven instead of hell. Why don't you see that? I may not have been able to play sports, but I was still able to have friends. I may have been poor, but I had what I needed. And I may have lost my mom, but she was here to teach me about God while she was alive. And I'll see her again in heaven soon. And I may have been sick, but I was still able to do God's work. I've lived a wonderful life while I've been here. A man in the Bible once said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I don't know why God has put me here, but I know it has a purpose. The Lord gave me this life to do his will and share the gospel with others. And now the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
You know, I never really thought that even you could be happy at a time like this.
I know, because I know heaven is waiting for me. Don't you see that?
I know that's what you've been trying to tell me my whole life, but it's never really stuck.
I asked Jesus in my heart when I was little, and now I'm going to heaven. Don't you want that in your life too?
You know, I never really thought you could be happy in a time when you're about to die. Even through all my success financially and in my career, none of that has brought me true joy. But what I do know is I want what you have. I want that relationship with God.
All you have to do is pray and ask God to forgive your sins. That's all it takes.
Okay, here goes. God, I've never really prayed before, but I heard about you my whole life through Corey. I never really wanted anything to do with you, but I realize now that I was wrong. I understand what Corey has been trying to tell me. I need you in my life. I have done so much that is wrong, but I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? I want you to come into my heart. Amen.
Tyler, you know, the only thing I asked God for before I died was to see you saved.
Corey wasn't supposed to go so quickly. He wasn't supposed to die so soon. But God had a different plan. His death opened Tyler's eyes. Corey gave his life to God, and it could be seen by everyone. Tyler had seen it his whole life before he realized that he needed God too. Tyler ended up getting the chance to be saved and to turn his life around. We aren't all going to have our whole lives to make that decision. Don't wait to make that decision in your life. Make it today. Corey may not have had the successful life in his job or in how much money he made, but he had the successful life in the eyes of God.
We hope that you enjoyed the programs this morning. We also hope they made you think. Everyone could use a little extra kindness. Is there someone you think that you were thinking of that could use a little extra kindness this Christmas season? We hope we have encouraged you to reach out and make a little effort if you know someone who is struggling during the holiday season. We also hope that you are thinking about your life and possibly a friend or a relative that you have that might not know Jesus as their personal Savior. We want to encourage you to pray for them and reach out to them. Share your own personal story of how you came to know Jesus. Maybe you never had a personal relationship with Jesus and don't know a whole lot about him. We want to pray for you and share our personal experience with you. It is our goal to make sure that no one leaves here today without knowing for sure where they will spend eternity. Eternity is forever. Jesus gives us a way to spend all of eternity in an amazing place called heaven. Ask yourself, if my life were to end right now, what would happen to me? If you don't know or are not sure, please don't leave here today without being 100% positive of where you will spend eternity. The Bible gives us answers. Let someone here use the Bible to show you the way to eternal happiness in heaven. Pastor Gross?
I'm just going to use this mic here, Brian. I appreciate that and trust that it's spoken to your heart. We do these programs not to just entertain, but to bring a message, and that message is one of Christ's love. Matthew 1:21 in the story of Joseph, where the angel spoke to him and gave the purpose for Christ's birth. It says, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now listen to this. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Have you been saved? They dramatize this today, and it was fictitious, but it could be real. In fact, it was a fictitious story, but it's a real story in each of our lives. Have we come to that place personally, individually, before God, and ask him forgiveness from our sins? It's a difference between heaven and hell. Have you done that? I trust that you have. Can we all bow our heads in prayer? Just close our eyes, no one looking around. And before I pray, I want to ask this question. Maybe God's tugging at your heart. Not me, not anybody else, but it's God. And he's speaking to your heart right now. And he's speaking to you and telling you that you've not made this decision in your life. If he is, don't ignore him. And don't ignore that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not any teenager. That's not me. That's not this church. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, my only question today is, would you respond to God? If you've not been saved, it's as very simple as just asking Christ to save your soul. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you can pray a prayer as simple as this: "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I realize you died for me. I want to accept you as my Savior, forgiving my sins, and come in and cleanse me." If you pray that prayer, even while you're seated, you can know you'll be saved. And let me just ask you this. You say, "Pastor, I know that's me. I don't think I'm saved. I don't think I've made that decision in my life, but I would like to." No one's looking right now. And while all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just slip up your hand and say, "That's me. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me?" Anyone at all? Young person, old alike. All right, I may have seen a hand, I'm not sure, but if that's you, in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. These teens are going to sing. We're going to keep our head bowed and eyes closed so no one's looking around, but we want to give you a chance to respond. We don't want to delay the service too much, but we want to give you a chance. I'll be down right here in front. And if while the teens are singing, if you would like to have someone talk to you about how you know you can be saved and know that for eternity, would you just slip out? And I'll get a lady to talk to you if you're a lady, a man to talk with you if you're a man. Take you to a side room, and before this service is over, you can know for certain that heaven's your destiny. Father, we pray that you'll bless during this time of invitation. Please help, Lord, if one is on the verge right now of accepting you, help them to make that decision. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, would you please stand to your feet? Everyone stand. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed in the spirit of prayer. Christians praying. If you need to make that decision, I will be right down front. And I'll talk to you, or someone will take you back into a side room that can show you to the way of salvation. Would you come as the teens sing? We can get the mic back on again. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming. Thank you, teenagers. Did a wonderful job. Let's give them a round of applause. And this is about Misty Harvey's 50th year of doing this thing. And she had a lot of help also from...